Okay, you are tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today it's going to be a special show because I am doing an interview with one of the lead singers and spokespeople for The Brighter Side of Darkness. You want to introduce yourself?
My name is Randolph Murph.
Okay. So today, at least for the start of the show, we'll be talking about the history of The Brighter Side of Darkness and playing their records. So you should definitely keep tuned. So first of all, thanks so much for coming down to the studio.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And so could you talk about, first of all, what part of Chicago are The Brighter Side of Darkness from?
We're from the south side of Chicago.
Okay. Are you guys from the same neighborhood specifically?
We were basically from the same neighborhood.
What blocks are you guys from?
We grew up around Calumet High School.
Okay.
Three of us went to Calumet High School.
Okay.
Okay, so we basically live from, I say around from Maid, you know, across Racine. We've been in that neighborhood from 79th to 81st Street.
Okay. And so the group formed... was that the first group that everybody was in, pretty much? Did you guys sing, any other guys sing before that?
No, I just sung a little gospel before that.
So is that how you got started singing, just in church, pretty much?
That's correct. I started out in church.
And how old were you when you formed, or how did the group form, first of all?
Well, three of us was attending Calumet High School here in Chicago, me, Ralph Eskridge, Larry Washington, and myself. And we used to sing in the hallways, you know, things like that. You know, we used to get together, and we sounded pretty good. So one day, a guy came to us and told us that they knew of a lady that was looking for some singers to sing with her son, who was Vera Lamont.
Okay.
So he was a little younger than we were. At that time, he was still in grammar school. So we said, really? So they gave us the information. We went over to Daryl's house one evening, and we met his mother, and we met Daryl, and that's how we got started.
Do you remember what year in school you were? What grade?
Oh, I was a junior, I think.
Were you all about juniors at that time?
That's correct.
And you don't remember what grade Daryl was when you met his mom, do you?
I think he was in eighth grade.
Okay, so you were like 3 or 4 years older than Daryl.
That's correct.
And do you remember where you met his mom or how you heard about it?
Some people, I forgot exactly who it was, but it was a guy that brought it to our attention. He knew Daryl them very well, and they told us that this guy could really sing. He had a remarkable voice, and his mother was looking for some people to sing with him. You know, some background singers.
Okay.
And so we went over to meet him. And when we met him, we met Daryl, man, it was just, man, it was magic. That's all I can say. It was magic, you know.
So you pretty much instantly started harmonizing with him, and you
everything fell right in place, man. I mean,
so what year would you say that was?
I said that was about 1972.
Okay, and you recorded soon after that, so you weren't even together that long before you recorded.
No, we sure wasn't. We might have been together maybe a year, if a year, before we recorded.
So you met him in 1972. Did he live near you guys, too?
He didn't live. He lived about, I'd say, 20 minutes from us, 15, 20 minutes from us, not far at all.
Okay, so you guys met up with him, and then did you have a name yet when you guys were singing together, or who came up with the name?
That's a good question. Our manager, she had a lot to do with coming up with the name, and I think a guy named Frank Dudette Harris also helped come up with that name.
Okay. So, who was your manager? Was it Daryl's mom?
Daryl's mother was our manager.
Okay.
A lady named Ann Preston.
And so she managed you, and then what did you guys do initially? Did you guys do talent shows, or did you guys initially get a contract very quickly? What happened?
Well, we did a few talent shows, you know, at first, you know, around the city,
okay.
Chicago, and we got a pretty good reputation, you know. After a while, they started calling us the best group in the city, and we sounded pretty good, so we thought to ourselves, man, hey, we can sing everybody else's material as well as they can, you know what I mean, the OJs, Dramatics, people like that. So we said all we needed was really a record. If we had a song, we had a hit record, you know, we probably could, you know, could really do something with this. And that's when me and Ralph, we sat down and wrote our Love Jones.
And you had mentioned, like, the OJs and the Dramatics. Were they some of the groups that inspired you at the time to sing? What were some of the groups that...
My favorite group back then was the Temptations.
Okay.
I ain't no doubt about it. But yeah, I like the Dramatics. I like the OJs, the Stylistics.
Okay, so you just mentioned that you and Ralph together ended up writing the song Love Jones. So that was before you even had a recording deal, you wrote the song?
That is correct.
So obviously that's one of the sort of big soul hits of the 70s, Love Jones became so.
Right.
But it's also a unique song.
Thank you.
So first of all, how did you come up with the idea? Did people say Love Jones at the time? Did you come up with the idea of Love Jones?
It came out of my head. You know how you have a lot of people have a Jones?
Yeah, so.
You know, and they be Jones or something. So I thought about a Love Jones, you know.
And you explain
like
it.
Being hooked on love. Yeah.
So you pretty much just came up with the phrase. I mean, I know people were talking about Jones, and
right.
But you came up with the phrase of Love Jones.
Yeah, that is correct.
So how did you end up actually getting a recording contract and recording it?
Well, during the holidays for one year, I think back in early 1973, we were doing an engagement at Hershey's Fireside Supper Club on 87th and Aston. Matter of fact, it was New Year's Eve, and Clarence Johnson was in the audience. The guy that produced our song, he was in the audience, and we sung the song live that night. So he came backstage and introduced himself, and we met. That's when we met Clarence, and I think a week or two after that, we were in the studio recording.
So you actually even performed the song before recording it.
We sure did.
And what did it sound like? Did it change a lot when he produced it? Obviously, he added all the strings and
right,
the French
horns.
Right,
he added all the strings and the horns. Clarence was remarkable. When we first met Clarence, he was a remarkable guy, man. He changed our lives a lot. We had a lot of fun with Clarence. And he made a few changes on Love Jones, too.
So what did the song sound different originally? What did it sound like originally?
Originally, it was pretty much the same as when we recorded it.
Okay.
We just made a few minor changes, like added the third verse and made a few minor changes, and we had a great time.
And when you were doing the song at that New Year's Eve show, mm-hmm. You were already doing New Year's Eve shows even though you hadn't even had a record out.
That's correct. We were popular. We worked every weekend.
Okay, so it was just you did it behind like the house band at that.
No, we had our own band.
Oh, you had your own band.
We had our own band. It's called the 25th Hour.
The 25th Hour.
Right outside of Dodgers and the 25th Hour.
So did your band also come out of Calumet High School, or how did you know them?
One of them went to Calumet High School, but we met them basically through our manager, Ann Preston.
Okay. Well, let me play Love Jones, which I'm sure everyone remembers, but
okay.
Just to sort of set the context of the interview so people know what we're talking about. This is The Brighter Side of Darkness with the long version of Love Jones.
What's happening, baby? Did you miss me over the weekend? If you did, I'm sorry. But now that I'm here, I don't want to bore you with a long, irrelevant conversation. But you see, doll, I think it's about time for me to get real serious about you. Because if someone was to rip me off of you, I couldn't account for my actions afterwards, and the way I feel, knowing that you should have been mad all the time. But you see, I not only want you, baby, but I need you. And the need is so strong, it's almost like that of a junkie. In other words, baby, I just got to have it. Listen to me, darling. Please, listen to me. Baby, what is a love, Jones? Shucks, darling. It's when you love someone. very, very much, and you just can't seem to get yourself together. Like last Friday in class, when Mr. Russell was giving us the chance, I was sitting up staring at you and daydreaming. I know I failed, a test paper with nothing but my name on it. I guess anybody can have a love, Charles. It's just love, but true love. The way I feel about you, that's a love, Charles. Comprehended anything I've said, and you find that you do love me, then all I want to hear from you, darling, is that you too have a love, John.
Okay, that was just The Brighter Side of Darkness with their big hit from 1973, is that right? With Love Jones, and if you're just tuning in, I have up in the studio Randolph Murph, member of The Brighter Side of Darkness, and one of the writers of that song, and you actually do the monologue on that song, so that you do the test paper with nothing but my name on it. You wrote the monologue too, is that right?
That is correct.
How old were you when you did that?
About 17.
Okay, it was pretty smooth. For
17, yeah, I was one of the first rappers out there.
So one thing we were talking about before was Clarence Johnson had seen you guys do this at the New Year's Eve show,
right.
But Daryl, and it was like at a supper club or something, but Daryl was still only in the eighth grade, so
right.
He was able to do shows like that. I mean,
yeah, he could perform, you know, he couldn't mingle with the crowd or nothing like that, but we could wait in the dressing room.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw you New Year's Eve, and then you said you recorded a few weeks later.
That's correct.
And so did you sign a contract with Clarence, or with your manager sign the contract? How did it work?
Yeah, we signed with General Entertainment Corporation first.
Okay, which is Clarence's company.
That's like a production company. Then they took the song to a record convention in California, and 20th Century Fox had just opened up the record division, because, you know, they were a film corporation.
Okay.
And so they had just opened up the record division, and we were the first artist that they signed.
Okay.
Out of over 2,000 songs that was at that record convention, we were the only artists that they signed.
And the song that got taken to the convention, was it the finished version of the song, or did he do more once they got signed to 20th Century? Do you know?
I think it was pretty much done. I think all 20 have had to do was put their label on it and distribute it.
Okay. So all the stuff with like the horns and all like the strings and like the French horns, there's a really kind of big production. Like all of that, was that Clarence who produced all that and did
that's
all that?
That's correct.
Okay, and did you sign to do a whole album, or did they like put out the single first and then decide to do an album? How did it work?
No, we did the album, and then they released Love Jones as a single off the album.
Okay, so pretty much you recorded. Well, but you recorded Love. So I'm still trying to understand. You recorded Love Jones. They took it to 20th Century.
Mm-hmm.
When you recorded Love Jones, did you record the whole album at that time, or did you go back to the studio a few more times later?
We went back to the studio a couple more times later.
Okay. So who sings lead on Love Jones?
Daryl Lamont.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that became a huge national hit, right?
Oh, definitely.
So what happened when that came out? Did you start touring nationally? What happened?
Oh yeah, we started to tour. We traveled a lot. We toured with some of the biggest names in the business. That's where we really made our reputation, was live.
Okay.
We had a reputation for one of the best live performances in the business.
So what was your live show like?
Fantastic. A lot of excitement. I mean, we used to get standing ovations, man.
I mean, but what did you do on the show? Did you do, like, Love Jones and then a bunch of songs, like, of your other songs and Song of the Day? Like, did you have a routine? Like, what happened?
Yeah, we had routines. We did some of the number one hits, you know, that were already out. You know, songs that people were already familiar with, things like that. You know, like by the OJs and stuff like that. We had stuff like that to our routine. And, of course, Love Jones was our hit because at that time we were like a one-hit act, you know.
Okay.
That was our first hit, and that was the only really big hit we had.
And on the cover of the album, you've got these silver suits with hoods.
Suits.
did you perform in those sometimes, or was that just for the album cover?
Yeah, we have performed in those before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you toured, like, what places did you go when you started touring?
Oh, we were everywhere, you name it. We were all over the country.
Okay. And you went on Soul Train a few times?
Yeah,
though,
we
right?
did do Soul Train, yeah, with Don Cornelius.
You went once on Soul Train?
Yeah, we only did Soul Train once.
What, in 74 or 73?
Let me see something. I think that was the beginning of 74.
Okay, and you did Love Jones on Soul Train?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Yeah, I've never seen that footage. It would be cool to see.
No,
I know Don keeps it under lock and key. He doesn't let the Soul Train footage get out. So the follow-up record you did off the album was Just a Little Bit. It was like Give Me a Little Piece of Your Heart, that song.
Yeah, that one and I Owe You Love.
Yeah, I Owe You Love was the one that came out right after that one, too.
That's correct.
So did you get any play off of the other records?
Yeah, we got a lot of play off of All You Love. We got a lot of play off of Just a Little Bit. And believe it or not, Summer Riot.
Okay.
That was a lot of people really liked that. That was a good song on that album. And also a song called I'm the Guy.
Okay.
Believe it or not, we did an interview at a television station. And I'm the Guy was on the flip side of the Bob 45.
The flip of Love Jones.
Right. And it wasn't in our routine.
Okay.
So we didn't have any choreography or anything for that. I'll never forget this. And when we got ready to appear on this television station, the guy told us that they had been playing I'm the Guy a lot, and a lot of people liked it. So he wanted us to perform this on this television station. And we had never even done it live or anything like that. I don't think we had even sung it since we had recorded it.
Okay.
What we did, we went in the dressing room and made up some choreography for it and performed it live that day, and it was a big hit.
What city was it in?
That was in New York City.
Do you remember what the TV show was?
I think it was WKTTV, something like that. I'm not exactly sure.
But you don't remember the TV show that it was
no,
on?
No, I don't.
Well, let me play I'm the Guy. So a few people can hear this song. And one thing is that you actually sing lead on this record, is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I actually do sing lead on this song.
Is this the... Okay, well, I'll play this and then we can come back. So this is The Brighter Side of Darkness with I'm the Guy. Okay, that was just The Brighter Side of Darkness with Just a Little Bit. And before that, I played The Brighter Side of Darkness with I'm the Guy. And if you're just tuning in, I have Randolph Murph, member of The Brighter Side of Darkness, and he sings the lead on I'm the Guy. Who sang lead on Just a Little Bit?
Ralph and Daryl.
Okay, the other Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph S.
Okay. So the Ralph, you're the Randolph.
That's correct.
Okay, sorry. So that record, Just a Little Bit, was your second single, and I'm the Guy was a flip of the first single. So Love Jones was a huge hit, and you guys, we were just talking about before, you guys were touring a lot, and you even went on Soul Train.
Right.
Do you have any good, like, road stories about how you were touring and anything crazy that happened?
Yeah, well, one thing I remember that was really exciting to me is when we performed at the Apollo Theater.
Okay, was that in 74?
We recorded in September of 1973, so yeah, that was early 1974.
Okay, so what happened at the Apollo? It was just... How was the show?
We had a blast at the Apollo Theater. We got a standing ovation at the Apollo Theater. Smokey Robinson was there, James Brown was there, and we got a lot of good advice from a lot of entertainers. Like Smokey told us, no matter what, we do, because he was really impressed with my group. He said, no matter what you guys do, stay together. And I wish I had listened to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you guys ended up cutting 3 singles for 20th Century, which are off the album, and then a 4th single came out, and it was on Clarence Johnson's Starview label. It was Because I Love You,
mm-hmm.
and that was off of the album. And then there was like a gap before your last single that you cut was on the Magic Touch label in 78. It was called He Made You Mine. So you had this big hit out, and you had an album out, but then you ended up not recording for a few years. What happened?
We did a lot of traveling and we performed with a lot of live. We did a lot of live shows, but to be real short, I don't want to talk about nobody or get real specific. But we had some management problems and some corporate problems, like a lot of groups. You know, we were growing fast. We were growing really, really fast, and we had to make some decisions.
Yeah, it's really hard when people are really young and they then don't have experience in the industry.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so. And you were out. Were you out of school by that point?
Yes, we were out of school. Though.
But you were doing music full. You were doing music full time, pretty much.
Yes, I was.
And so let me ask about the last record you ended up recording. It was a track called "He Made You Mine," and it came out in 1978 on the Magic Touch label. So was it the same group? Doing
yes,
that song? So the exact same lineup, all 4 members were the same on it. So do you remember how you ended up getting a recording contract with Magic Touch Records? I think a guy named Lenny LaCour ran the label. You don't remember that guy, remember?
No.
So do you remember recording He
yes.
Made You Mine?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you recorded it and how it happened?
No, not really. At that time, when we did He Made You Mine, see, after Love Jones, to be perfectly honest with you, we had some great times. Management, Daryl's mother was our manager, and she took us as far as she could. But I, to make a long story short, I'll just put it like this. We had reached the point where someone else should have taken over the group and took it to another level.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not taking nothing away from Daryl's mother. She was a great personal manager at that time. She took care of business, and she was very dedicated. She worked real hard. But at a certain point, she should have became just a personal manager. And we were approached by a lot of other people to make some business decisions, and a lot of decisions were turned down.
Okay.
You know, so people that we were already doing business with could maintain control.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And I think that kind of stagnated our growth.
Okay.
A lot.
So, yeah, so you kind of missed out on some opportunities.
Oh, some big, like with the William Morris Agency, for one.
Okay.
The William Morris Agency approached my group, and, you know, they were the biggest in the business.
Okay.
You know, they had stars like Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, I mean, you know, things like that. And I was told that they were turned down.
Okay. But then you did end up cutting this one final record, although you don't know exactly the situation behind it. And this is called He Made You Mine,
okay.
Which I'm going to play as a nice cut, and you can hear Daryl singing lead on the record.
Okay.
So this is A Brighter Side of Darkness with He Made You Mine. Okay, you are tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. That was just The Brighter Side of Darkness with their very last record called He Made You Mine. It came out on Magic Touch Records in 1978, I think. And if you are just tuning in, I have in the studio Randolph Murph, member of The Brighter Side of Darkness, and lead singer on a couple of the records. So that record was the last record you guys recorded in 78, but it was the same guys singing pretty much. So did you guys ever sing together after that, or you just kept get together to record that one record, or what? And what did you do after that?
No, we just stayed together not too long after that.
Okay. And did any of you do music after that?
Yeah, I did a little solo. Everybody did a little bit of something, but nothing too much.
But no one recorded anything since.
No.
So what are you doing today?
Well, right now I've dedicated my life to Christ, and I'm really serious about that, about my salvation. I want to sing gospel music, but I've also started my own publishing company, and I'm in the process of establishing a production and a management corporation also under Raw Blood Music.
Okay. So hopefully something comes out of that.
Oh, definitely. I'm negotiating right now with a publishing deal with Warner Brothers.
So are you talking about producing gospel music or also R&B music?
Oh, I'm going to produce gospel and R&B.
Okay. Do you have any acts together yet?
I have a few things pending. You know, I'm talking to some people right now, and I have a few acts that I'm interested in, but I'm just waiting for everything to be finalized to get all my ducks in a row.
Okay. Well, I got to say thanks so much for coming to the studio and telling your story.
It was
a cool story. So is there any last words for the audience, pretty much?
No, just keep it real.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks so much. So the last record I'm going to play is really excellent record that they did, which was only on their album. This is A Brighter Side of Darkness with I'm a Loser. Okay, that was just The Brighter Side of Darkness with an album cut that they did called I'm a Loser. And Randolph wanted to tell the audience one more thing about his website.
Right. For all the new talent and anybody that want to get in touch with me, I can be reached with rawbloodmusic07@yahoo.com. That's rawbloodmusic07@yahoo.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Okay, well, thank you.